The reading for today is in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. And it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Amen. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Jake. And good morning to all of you again. I just want to pray right now, if we could, together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the name under which we gather, which is the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you, to be able to come to your throne through the name of Jesus to thank you for what you've done. And Lord, we dedicate this whole time to you, Lord, from the start of the service to the end, but we more than that, we dedicate our lives like we just sang. Lord, help us to live for you more and more each and every day out of the love and adoration for what you've done for us. And Lord, as we talk about your word a little bit this morning, would you just speak to us? Help us to set aside maybe what we came in here with that's troubling us or that's distracting us. Let us be focused upon you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, as we start this portion of the worship, I have a question for you today. And that question is this: how is your core? How is your core? You know, these muscles, or lack thereof in my case, at the center of our body that support and maintain the rest of our body and mobilize it, how are they? Well, I can tell you for me that mine are pretty weak, okay? And I know that because of the occasional times that have gotten more and more frequent the older I get, where my back actually goes out and I run off to my chiropractor. I run off to see him and he fixes me up, but then more than once he's handed me this paper for core muscle exercise, things that I should be doing, indicating that that is a big part of my back problem. Now, I'm also aware of how weak I am in my core physically because years ago, okay, I was at a men's ministry kickoff. It was called Fight Club. Some of you may have heard of it, and you might be familiar with it. And they had a plank challenge, okay, to see how long you could plank. Church, I stunk. And that was years ago, okay? And I really, shame on me, okay, I really have done nothing since then to strengthen my physical core. So how is your core? But to be honest, I'm not really interested in the strength of your core physically, but how is your spiritual core? How is your spiritual core today? You see, that's what we're going to be talking about over these next 7 weeks as we begin a brand new series, in fact, called just that, The Core. And during this series, we will be studying the seven values that the Lord has led us as Revive Wesleyan Church to support and mobilize us as his kingdom growth agents. And during this series, because we really want all of us to explore these values deeply due to the benefit that they can have to us personally and thus to us as a church and thus to the kingdom of God. Well, because of all of that, we have made these available, okay, these core journals. Now, if you haven't grabbed one yet, you can do so after church, okay? And at the table in the back, they're $5. And if you can't afford that, just please take one, okay? Maybe someone else will donate a little bit more just to cover our printing costs. And we ask you during this series to bring that journal with you along with your number one tool, okay? This right here, your Bible. Bring those two things to you with you to church each and every week during this series. In fact, if you have a journal right now, I want you to take that out, okay? And you're going to have to just bear with me this morning a little bit as I want to just take some time explaining the series, okay? I want to take some time explaining that and also explaining the journal before we get into the scripture, okay? So if you have a core journal, I want you to turn right now to page one of that core journal where you're going to see on page one our God-directed mission and vision as a church. You see, a couple years ago, we changed our name to Revive Wesleyan, which we felt embodied a new and a renewed mission and vision. And so you may already know our mission. I hope you do, okay, if you've been around here. In fact, if you do, let's say it together. At Revive Wesleyan, we what, church? We what? We pursue the Father, we proclaim Jesus, and we participate with the Holy Spirit. Pursue, proclaim, participate. That's our mission, okay? And then our vision is this. We desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace, impacting generations to come. And speaking real quickly about that last end of the vision, to impact generations to come, just know that this series, the core, is what we call an all-church journey, meaning everyone, okay? Everyone of all ages, everyone of all generations is doing this series together, from children in our children's ministry area to our youth in their youth space, and small groups all across Revive will be doing this study. So all these areas will be discussing the same things, okay? With our teens using the same core journal as the adults, well, the kids, they're going to, each Sunday, they're going to be getting these little weekly booklets to do at home. So this is going to be, I say all that to say, this is going to be an exciting season, church. It is going to be exciting to see everyone discussing the same things, sharing their insights, and thus growing together, which is also a key, okay? Together. Can you say together? Together. And what I mean by that is if you're not in a small group to meet outside our Sunday morning large church gathering time to discuss the sermons a little bit, to talk about your journal discoveries a little bit, it's time for you to consider signing up for something like that, to do that. And you can do that at the back by that table where the journals are, okay? And in fact, we have a group for women that's starting next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the nursery, and they're going to have their journals with them, they're going to have their Bible with them to grow together, you see, and to see what the Lord may do during the season. And there's also a community group that meets here on Monday night at 6:30 in the kids' room. They're going to meet meeting doing the same thing, and that's for men or women, okay? Or if you can't do those, you know, sign up in the back. We'll try to figure something out, but maybe you could just grab a journal and your Bible and a friend or a family member, and you can discuss things weekly that way together during the series. So with that, upon covering our mission and our vision and the details of this series a little bit, this all-church journey, before we dive into the scripture today, let's talk about where our values, okay? Where do our values, the focus of this series, where do they come in? And we can think of it this way. Our mission and our vision, they set our course, okay? But our values, well, they really determine how we get there, you see. And with our mission and our vision and our values, newsflash, we don't want to just talk a big game, but we want to practice these things on a daily basis because it's not just about information, it's about transformation. It's about change, church. So we want these values to guide us, okay? To guide us in making what can sometimes be difficult decisions in life, in an ever-changing world. And whether you know it or not, we all have values. You have values, and you make decisions by them all the time. So with that, have you ever thought what your values are? Well, I'm telling you, this series will force us all to think about that, and it will spark us to consider the values that we speak of becoming our own personal values. And our hope, okay, our hope is that we will all learn how, in fact, to live these values out each and every day, which is important because, listen, cultural values, they change almost like the wind, okay? And in time and in context, while we, okay, we've anchored our values, the ones that we'll cover in this series, we've anchored them in the steadfast truth of Scripture, the Bible. Scripture, the Bible, which I'll tell you right now, that happens to be our first value, okay? The first of our seven values, which we're going to cover today. And so of this value, Scripture, we as a church, we state this. We keep the eternal truth of Scripture central because it is God-inspired and it is authoritative for salvation, and it's authoritative for all matters of Christian living. And church, with that in mind, our anchoring text this morning, as we consider the importance and place of Scripture in our lives, well, as we will see, this anchoring text talks about the value of Scripture. That's what we're going to look at. So with that, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah today, chapter 8. And real quick, if you turn to page 9 of your core journal, there is a place for you to take sermon notes, okay? But before we read this particular scripture, Nehemiah chapter 8, it's not going to make much sense without some context first, okay? Like where are we in the timeline and the history of God's people? And things like what happened before what we're about to read and before this scene. So with that said, I just want to quickly help us with all that, okay? So this account takes place when a group of Jews returned to their homeland, to Israel, after they'd been living in exile in a foreign land, Babylon. And this exile, it had spanned for 70 years from the time when Jerusalem, the city of Israel, when that fell to the Babylonians. That's when the 70 years started, and then it ended, okay, when the first exiles returned home to Jerusalem, to Israel. And you see, prior to this exile, starting with Moses, okay, some like 1,000 years, give or take, before this scene, starting with him and continuing with the warning of many other prophets, well, prior to all that, this exile, God was clear. And his message was this: if you obey the law of God, you will continue to live in the land of promise, in the land that I promised you, the land promised by God, a land flowing with milk and honey, aka Israel, Jerusalem. That was his message, but his message continued, okay? It continued by him saying, if you ignore the law of God, if you ignore this law given by Moses, God's patience will run out, and you'll be conquered. You'll be conquered by a foreign army who will force you to leave your homes. And you will be forced to exit your homeland and to be exiles, forced to live in a place far, far away from your home. And so these warnings, they continued, okay, until finally the punishment came. The Babylonian occupation of Israel. So church, first pit stop. There is a limit to God's patience. Now, I know that's not a popular message, but it's true. Now, he will always, until there no longer is a new day upon his coming return, until then, he will always take you or I back, or anyone back, in fact, and he will forgive any repentant heart. But there is a limit, you see, to his patience. So with that said, in Israel's history, in 586 BC, again, that Babylonian army, they marched in, they captured Jerusalem, and any who survived, they were marched off to live in a foreign land, the foreign land of Babylon. And just imagine that. Imagine that for a moment. The fear of being subdued by a foreign army. Imagine walking with what you could carry away from your home, away from your fields, away from all that was familiar to do, away from all that was loved by you. And imagine starting over in a tent city as a refugee, where year after year you wonder if your family will ever be able to go back home. Imagine that. Well, that happened. The opportunity to go home, the opportunity to return, as the prophet Jeremiah prophesied it would, well, that came to be. And so after the 70 years, a remnant, okay, a small group of the Jewish people, they returned to their homeland, and they returned in waves. And it wasn't like they just picked off where they left off, because Jerusalem, the city, it was in ruins. And so the book of Nehemiah that we look at today, in that we read about how Nehemiah, he goes to his boss, King Artaxerxes, and he goes and he says, can I have permission to go back to Jerusalem to help that small group there assembled and there and go back and help them get on its feet? And church, the hand of the Lord was on this king, okay, who sent Nehemiah to return with his blessing. And so with that, the first part of the book of Nehemiah that we read about is how the people, they all came together to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, an important first step in reestablishing their nation, you see. But then in another wave of those returning to their homeland was Ezra, the priest. He returned. And so now that the people had a functional wall, a necessary step in reestablishing some sense of normalcy, well, now that that was done, it was time to reconnect Israel to their true leader, to God. And so since the nation of Israel was built upon their identity to God and in God, Nehemiah and Ezra, they are seen calling the people together to hear the Hebrew scriptures, the law of Moses, the Bible, okay? Because it was time. It was time to repair their moral foundation. Because had these people, think about it, had these people been allowed to gather in local synagogues while living in Babylon? Not likely. And the little children had probably not been allowed to learn Hebrew at any kind of synagogue school. And in those days, long before the printing press, handwritten copies of the law were not available to read readily or to study, which all brings us now to Nehemiah chapter 8. You see, we're in Jerusalem, okay? We're in Jerusalem in the early morning as a crowd gathers. As a crowd gathers to hear the scriptures read. And of the, say, 42,000 exiles who had returned, most of them, maybe like 30,000, are there that day. They're there that day to hear the scriptures, which we're going to read in a second. But first, I told you you had to bear with me a little bit today. Let me ask you now to turn to page 4 of your core journal. Because I got to tell you, one of the most exciting parts of this all-church journey, the core series, is the layout of weekday scripture readings that we've provided to you in those core journals. And I want to talk just for a second about a method of Bible study that we hope that you will use during this series, and we hope that it will become a piece of this story for you that just opens the doors for you. Opens the doors for you to see and experience what the Lord has for you. And so this method is described on page 4 of the journal, and it uses the acronym SOAP, S-O-A-P, which I want to explain, and then we're going to use it for the rest of the sermon, and then you're going to use it each day of the week, okay, as you engage with the readings in the journal. So the S stands for Scripture. Again, each day in this journal, we give you a Scripture passage to read. And so as you read, look for a sentence, or maybe look for a phrase that stands out to you and write that down. Write that down by the S for that day. And then the O, that stands for observation. So as you read, ask yourself things like, you know, what do I see in this passage? And write that down. What do I notice? Write that down. What do I observe about God maybe? What do I observe about humanity maybe? Write those things down. Or maybe ask yourself, do I see an instruction for living? Do I see a command to follow? Write those things down. Do I see a promise to be had through my obedience? Or even something that just piques your curiosity? Write those things down. Jot them down under the O. And then the A stands for application. And if I haven't said this enough, here goes again. This journey is not about getting more information. It's about following Jesus. It is about transformation. It is about taking what we are learning and applying it. So write down that application each day by the A and be specific as you can. You know, maybe even with deadlines. You know, like I'm going to do X by such and such a date. And then lastly, we have the P. That stands for prayer. End your SOAP time each day in prayer. Maybe asking God for wisdom or for courage or even for strength to act upon your documented application. So that's SOAP, okay? I hope that makes sense. If not, you can check with me later. But now let's kind of SOAP Nehemiah 8 together. Actually starting in the final verse of chapter 7. Nehemiah 7:73b says this. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So how did the people listen, church? Attentively, kind of like how soap is going to help us to do in this journey. In other words, the people listened as if their lives depended on it. That's how they listened. You see, these words, they were a path to life for them, both as individuals and as a group. In fact, as we keep reading, how they responded physically to Ezra's reading shows us what was in their hearts. Let's look at verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Church, their body language shows they were eager. Eager to hear these words. Eager to hear God's words. And so they what? They humbled themselves. They humbled themselves in God's presence. Now continuing in verse 7, God's word says this. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Now, I think the people's response is interesting, don't you? It says they were what? They were weeping. In fact, a part of my observation as I soap this is they were weeping. They were weeping, leading me to question, why were they weeping? Well, here's what I think the answer to that is. You see, as the list of commands were being read, the list of commands that they had not been obeying, well, as that list piled up, they realized just how far, in fact, they were from living the life that God had for them and called them to. In other words, they were now more aware and they were sad and they were convicted, likely thinking, we've been missing the mark so much. And can I tell you, this was an appropriate response. And one that I think we should think about, because you know what? Change can only begin when we realize where we are and are not satisfied to stay there. Think about it. Think about it. We need to have an accurate understanding of our position, where we are following God and where we are not. We need that to grow. We need that to mature in our faith. And in order to realize the breadth of his blessings that he has for us. And think about it. This is why church scripture, God's word, is so important. Because against it, we can accurately assess where we are currently versus where we need to be. Nothing else, church, can. Nothing else in this world is meant to do that other than God and his word. Anything else is speculation. Anything else is subject to change. I'm going to go by what's been standing strong for years and years and years. And I ask you to join me in that. Versus what maybe you or I think is good. Or versus what makes you or I feel good. Or versus what our changing culture thinks. Now, with that said, let me just say that maybe the things of God are new to you. And as you learn about Jesus, as you learn about his ways, maybe you're sad. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Or maybe you are following Jesus in a half-hearted way, which is really not following Jesus at all. Well, if that's you, just know, okay? Just know that this day, in this all-church journey, well, you know what? They provide you with an opportunity. They provide you with an opportunity for a fresh start. And in fact, someone has described the Christian journey as a series of new beginnings. So, do you need a new beginning with God? Do you need a new chapter in your life? Well, I have good news for you today. And it is the good news. In Jesus, we can begin today right from where we are, okay? You don't have to miss out any longer on the life that God has for you and his plan for you. You don't have to miss it. He will meet you right where you are. He will take you where you need to be if you seek him. If you seek him like through the scriptures. If you seek him with the aim of becoming more like him, he will meet you right there. For this is his grace. That's his grace. For this is what Jesus won for us on the day that he laid down his life to buy us forgiveness and provide us an opportunity for a new start. So if you can receive that, just by saying yes to him, and if you can start engaging and participating with him more, maybe you will look back on this series, maybe you will look back on this fall of 2023 as being the start of something new in your life and something wonderful. The opportunity is here, that's what I'm telling you. It's here through the study. Dive in. Will there be setbacks? Absolutely. Ups and downs? Yes. Will it go perfect? No. But I'm telling you, it will be worth it. So dive into this course study with us. Now with that, let's get back to our scripture passage because we are about to read the phrase that stands out to me that I have written under the S as I soaped it, okay? So Nehemiah and Ezra, they see and hear the people sobbing and then they speak to them in verse 10. Look at it. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, pastor confession time, okay? I have heard this phrase many times in Christian circles. But until preparing for this sermon, I didn't realize the original context or the original setting that it's in, which I'm telling you is profound. And it serves as an encouragement to me to stay in and to stay hungry for God's word. Because he will remind you and I of things. He will teach us and show us new things, no matter how long we've been reading. Because think about this statement that jumped out to me again. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about that statement in its context. The context of this account, where the people were what again? Do you remember? Weeping, right? Weeping over what? Their failure. Weeping over their failure to live as God calls. So what does this statement, I ask you, what does the joy of the Lord is my strength mean when beating oneself up over prior failures to live according to God's word? What does that mean? Well, here's what I believe it means. Here's my observation, in other words. As God looks down on us, you and I, as he looks down on us, as we listen to his words, as we read and study them, and as we take them to heart, looking to embrace godly change, looking to apply them, he's not scowling. He is smiling, church. He is smiling. Because when we take the time, again, to read and to study and to obey and apply God's word, you know what? It brings God great joy. It brings him great joy, and a great joy, listen to me, a great joy that surpasses our prior failures. You see, when you and I, when we put the past in the past, when we begin walking new with and for him, and with a hunger and a desire to obey and apply his word, I can almost see that smile on his face. Church, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Even when your own past failures are zapping that joy. And so for the Israelites, their tears of sorrow over all that they had missed and messed up, those tears of sorrow, they become tears of what? Tears of joy. because a new chapter in their lives had begun, you see, through their own choosing. Now with that, let's move from observation to application, okay? And in this story in Nehemiah, it gives us an example of how we can apply what we read to our lives. You see, the people in the congregation on that day, they not only heard the word of God, but they acted on it. What do I mean? Let's pick up in verse 13. God's word says this. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra, the teacher, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make temporary shelters as it is written. So the people went out and they brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Now, of course, their joy was very great, for they had responded in obedience, you see, in obedience to what they had heard. I mean, it was autumn time, okay? It was autumn, the time when olive and grapes had just been harvested. And so in the law of Moses, they heard that they were to celebrate God's goodness at this time, and in doing so, to remember how he delivered them from slavery in Egypt long, long ago by building these huts, sleeping outside for a week, just as their ancestors had centuries and centuries earlier out of necessity during their flight out of Egypt. And so this is one of the three harvest festivals commanded in the law of Moses. Only those listening here in Nehemiah, remember they were locked away for 70 years. They had never observed it before. But they looked at each other. They looked at each other and they said, let's begin today. They looked at each other and said, let's begin to obey God's word today. And so they did. And so they got some branches and they built these little tent structures and they slept outside for a week, remembering God's faithfulness and what fun they must have had. Their joy was great. So to you and me, I ask, why not begin today? Why not begin today? You don't have to wait for the right time. You don't have to wait for a new year. Why not begin today to read and to study God's word to us in the Bible? And then apply what you learn. Act on it. Act on what you see. Listen to what you hear. Through that, church, our lives will be more and more aligned with God and changed for his glory. Which is how at Revive Wesleyan, a Wesleyan church, we guide the ministry that he has entrusted us with. We are committed to aligning our beliefs and our actions with God and with his word, to keep he and it central, to keep it forefront, because it is authoritative for salvation in all matters of Christian living. So I say that to say this, his word guides us as a church in what we believe about things like sexual matters and identity, and racial and political matters, and the sanctity of life, and immigration, all of which you can read about for yourself in our positional statements. The website's going to be up on the screen, which I would encourage you to do sometime, and just see how Scripture forms what we believe as a church. But anyway, since our first value is Scripture, as we near the close, I just want to invite you again. I want to invite you to read the Bible every weekday of the seven-week journey, per that core journal. Because we know that we can only but scratch the surface here on a Sunday morning. And you know why else? Because God, he wants to speak directly to you. He wants to speak to you all throughout the week. And if reading the Bible is all new to you, that core journal, that's just a great way to get started, okay? So pick one up at the table in the back and just see. Go on this journey. See what God may do in 7 weeks. And if you already are in the Bible regularly, then still do this study with us. but maybe try a different translation. Maybe freshen things up a little bit. And now for the final part of our soap. It's time to pray, okay? We're going to pray. And as the worship team makes their way up here, before we pray, let's remind ourselves of something for a second. That listening to and for God in prayer, do you know what? That's just as important as speaking to God in prayer. So that's what I want to do right now. I want us to have a few minutes of just quiet and let's ask God, you know, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying? What step with the scriptures, with the core journey, are you asking me? Do you want me to apply today, God? Is it to just be here every Sunday during the series? Is it the journal? Is it to get into a small group to discuss these things? What is it? Let's ask him to speak to us and have a few minutes to hear from him personally. Heavenly Father, we just ask over these next few seconds, Lord, that you would speak to us about what we need to hear from you today as we reflect on these scriptures in this journey series. Lord God, we thank you for your word. What a wonderful gift it is. And as we think about those Israelites who had been separated from their homeland and their word in so many ways for those 70 years, for a generation, Lord, I feel like we take things for granted, that we have the ability to be in your word and to have this book for us. It's your word, so thank you for it. Help us to read it. Help us to study it this week. But more than any of that, help us to apply it. Help us to apply it to our lives so that we can realize the good life that you have for us, the blessed life. And that doesn't mean things will be easy all the time, but they will be worth it. We'll be living on values that matter, like this value of Scripture. That's where truth is. Help us to see it, apply it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.